News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig, and opening up the phone lines for you. Text line has been humming all morning at 343-0106. Y'all have a lot on your mind. If you want to discuss it, feel free. That same number, of course, is the phone line as well. We're going to talk to Rob Holbert from Lagniappe Mobile at the bottom of the hour, get his take on a few things, and look over their latest addition. Down at the border, there's a lot of talk. And in fairness to Biden, I think that he wasn't saying that Trump started the migrant walk toward the border. I think he said it started while Trump was still president. So let's at least be fair about the way we word this. Now we have a mess for sure, right? Mm-hmm. But he was just saying there were natural disasters and things like that that happened. Whether that's accurate or not, I don't know. But he wasn't blaming Trump for what was going on. Obviously, Trump's policies were taking care of the border in a more stern way.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got now we've got a real problem down there, and it started when Joe Biden reversed some of Donald Trump's policies. A lot of Republicans are fed up with it, and they're pouncing on Biden for it.
Yeah, so let's look at the numbers. And as Paul pointed out earlier, the real surge, it started before Biden took office, but after he had won the election, and there had been a lot of rhetoric during his campaign that basically the way he made it sound was that come on up, it'll be an open border, we'll take care of you. And then remember that little period of time between, well, it wasn't a little period of time, and a whole lot of stuff happened, but between the election in November and Inauguration Day on January 20th, at some point during that, as the surge really picked up, somebody in Biden's transition team said that was the first instance of, oh, you can come up, just not right now.
Yeah.
Like, right now is not a good time.
Yeah.
They do have some numbers here. They said, so in all of 2020, there were 547,000 apprehensions at the southern border. In January this year, 78,000 apprehensions. And then in February, 100,000 migrants at the border were apprehended. So about just a little more than a sixth of the total number from last year came across the border and were apprehended in February. The highest migration level in 1 month was back in May of 2019. Of course, Trump was president then. But over 130,000 were apprehended at the border then, and that was when Trump really put those policies in place, yeah, the Remain in Mexico program.
Right.
And it's starting to sound like the Biden administration is doing the same thing, but under wraps, right? Like, they can't say it publicly because he campaigned the whole time that he was going to treat these illegal immigrants one way, and then they're seeing, it's not a great thing that's happening down there.
No, and it seems that the Democrats were saying, we're going to do it more humanely, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go about this differently than Donald Trump. Here's the fruits of that labor right now. You've got quite a crisis down there. Republicans are yelling from the highest hill, including Ted Cruz, who was on Fox yesterday.
I've spent a lot of time at the border. I've spent a lot of time at the border meeting with Customs and Border Patrol agents, meeting with the leadership there, examining the facilities directly. But what's happening is truly tragic. Even Biden's DHS secretary admitted we're seeing the highest volume of illegal immigration across the southwest border in 20 years.
Mm-mm. So anyway, you've got a real problem down there, and it seems now he has appointed Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
She's kind of like when Trump told Pence, hey, man, you're in charge of this virus.
Right.
So Kamala Harris, now, good luck with that. Her new assignment is the Mexican border.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably like, really?
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah, remember Obama put, when Obama was president, he put Biden in charge of curing cancer. You remember that?
I don't remember
that. He told Biden, he was like, like Biden's going to cure cancer.
Cancer's your deal, man.
Cancer's yours. Trump handed Pence the coronavirus, and now Biden handing Kamala the problem on the border. Why do we elect presidents anyway, right? Why not just elect vice presidents and have them do it?
It's like, man, coronavirus. I don't know about this. Hey, Pence!
And you mentioned how, you know, Republicans are seizing on this, and why the hell not?
Yeah.
Because over the last 4 years, all we've heard about are kids in cages, and we didn't hear a lot about kids in cages during the Obama administration when they actually began putting kids in cages on the border. And Ted Cruz talked about that yesterday as well.
Just last month in February, there were over 100,000 illegal aliens. They've got over 15,000 children held in cages right now. And all of this is the direct result of political decisions made by Joe Biden and his administration.
Mm-hmm. And Chuck in Mobile, he said, I think Lindsey Graham used the proper verbiage to describe the border situation yesterday. Lindsey Graham used a bad word. He used an uh-oh word. He called it a blank show, what's happening.
Did he really?
Down there at the border. Yeah, so Lindsey Graham also seizing on this. And one thing I don't understand, well, I guess I understand it, but it's so hypocritical on its face, is Democrats have been pushing for testing. You know, they were talking about vaccine passports to travel internationally. You got to wear two masks, can't leave your house. You know, there's been a number of different directives from Democratic leaders. But for all these kids that are streaming across the border, and I did see that the number one type of person that's coming across the border, you have your families, you have your migrant children that don't have parents, but there are a lot of single men coming across.
And
that's because there's work. There's opportunities up here as we kind of start to bounce back from this pandemic and really start to open things up. They're coming up here to make money because it's not available to them in South America. That hasn't been discussed much, but they're also not talking about the testing for COVID on the border. And a story out from the New York Post, they say hundreds of migrant children have tested positive for the coronavirus after arriving at government shelters over the past year. Among the nearly 2,900 unaccompanied minors to have tested positive, only 319 are currently in the system and being held in medical isolation. There was data from the government obtained by Axios showed that more than 11,500 kids are currently being held in Homeland Security shelters, meaning about 3% are in isolation with COVID-19 right now.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've talked about that surge of unaccompanied minors. They said since March of last year, close to 40,000 coronavirus tests were administered to unaccompanied children entering the more than 200 facilities in 22 states. Just think about that. 200 facilities housing unaccompanied illegal immigrant minors in 22 states. That's huge.
It is.
And of those 40,000 tests, right around 3,000 were confirmed positive. So for as much as, you know, some people have been worried about this virus and super spreader events, it's just not being talked about on the border. And they'll say it's, you know, it's race related if you start to mention that could end up being a problem for not just those southern states, but we've seen how this COVID can move around, right? And
yes.
If there's some kind of variant that's coming up from there.
Well, so often, remember the pork plants and in the Midwest, there was big COVID outbreaks there.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with the fact that these were migrants who were working these jobs, and then they'd go back to where they lived, and they all lived in like the same little trailer parks.
Yeah.
So they worked together in not good conditions, and then they lived together, and it was like it was a COVID time bomb in places like that.
Yeah.
We had those incredible outbreaks. Very few were white Americans.
At these plants.
At these plants, you know, working the job.
Well, Kamala's going to fix everything.
She will. It's on her to-do list. Like, I've got to clean the kitchen today, but Kamala Harris
has to fix the border situation.
It is 15 minutes after 8 o'clock. FM Talk 106.5. Give us a call.
This information update brought to you by Air Specialty, your Carrier Factory authorized dealer striving to provide outstanding AC services. Visit air-specialty.com to see everything they have to offer.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Well, skies will be cloudy across the Gulf Coast today. Look for showers and a few thunderstorms. It will be windy with highs in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, a few thunderstorms, lows in the mid-60s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a few showers and afternoon readings in the upper 70s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. The Mobile County School Board has approved the sale of the former May Eanes Middle School campus to be used as a potential location for future affordable housing options. The city of Mobile outbid West Bay Academy, which had offered nearly $500,000 for that property. In a newsletter, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson said the planned development will include 94 units in its first phase. Tomorrow, Austell USA will break ground on its new steel manufacturing facility. The new facility will give Austell the capability to build both aluminum and steel ships to support increasing demand for steel ships from the Navy and Coast Guard. Right now, Austell makes the aluminum LCS ships and expeditionary fast transports. Prosecutors are expected to lay out their case against one of the suspects arrested for the death of a Mobile man. 18-year-old Mary Butler faces a murder charge for the death of 21-year-old Bradley Nall. Nall was shot and killed inside his car on Ramat Drive January 30th. Three others are also facing charges. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5.
This tip for the outdoorsman is brought to you by SunSouth, where you'll find quality John Deere equipment. Think SunSouth for those that do. Visit us at SunSouth or shop online at sunsouth.com.
Like many people, I enjoy a good crawfish dinner, but I'm not the only one. Hi, I'm John Felsher. You might have read some of my articles in many outdoors publications. Well, stand by for another outdoors tip.
Spring is the season for doers, and SunSouth has quality John Deere tractors and mowers to help you tackle your terrain faster, more efficiently, and more affordably. And during the spring sales event at SunSouth, save even more with 0% financing on select new John Deere tractors and mowers. Plus, get discounts on parts to keep your equipment running its best. Hurry in during the spring sales event at SunSouth. Equipment for those that do.
Some restrictions apply. Dealer for details expires March 31st, 2021.
More than 330 crawfish species populate North America, but most people living along the Gulf Coast only recognize two types, live or boiled. Bass also love a good crawfish meal and feed heavily upon the delicious crustaceans. Bass especially like crawfish in the spring, but they'll eat them all year long whenever they can catch them. For this reason, lures that mimic crawfish make mighty tempting morsels to bass at any time. When bass feed heavily upon crawfish, fish baits with some red and brown and little black coloration in them. To a largemouth bass, nothing looks more like a crawfish than a jig tipped with a soft plastic craw trailer. Drag jig slowly along the bottom like a crawling crawfish. A Texas rig tube can also mimic a crawfish, but fish it more with a vertical type of presentation. Flip the jig into tight pockets between cover and let it fall naturally. Bass frequently slurp tubes down as they fall. Now, where's my invitation to your next crawfish boil? This is John Felsher with your outdoors tip brought to you by FM Talk 106.5.
One of the most important decisions you can make is to purchase a home. When you're going through this process, it's important to have an experienced mortgage lender on your side. John Williston with Iberia Bank has the lending experience that'll give you confidence when you're purchasing your home. Jonna says it's important to her to get to know your needs and wants, and she'll offer you options, guidance, and efficiency. Call Jonna Williston at Iberia Bank today if you're considering purchasing a home. She truly wants to do business with you.
Call Jonna Williston at Iberia Bank, 251-345-9673.
From the AllianceRoofing.com traffic center, just wrapping up the accident at Highway 90 and Crestview Drive. Still looking good across the Bayway, the Causeway. Prepare for gusty winds up to 30 miles an hour with a high wind advisory till 10 p.m. tonight. So far, Sarah Lamb, Chickasaw, and Pritchard, you look great. The Battle House Spa and Antra CBD Oils have teamed up to offer the ultimate organic massage. Balance, heal, and renew your body. They guarantee you'll leave with a profound sense of relaxation. The Battle House Hotel and Spa, 338-5700. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5. Traffic.
Morning from Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, and it's FM Talk 106.5. 8:20 on Mobile Mornings. Hey, Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients, and Five Rivers Group at Morgan Stanley right here in Mobile. They know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everybody's got different goals, planning for retirement, saving for a child's education. Five Rivers Group can create personal investment strategies, help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. And you can schedule an appointment with Hunt Griffith, he's a financial advisor at Five Rivers Group at 251-470-1092. That's Hunt Griffith at 251-470-1092. Five Rivers Group, Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
And we have a lot of local news to get to, and we'll talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap about the bridge proposal, Amtrak, everything going on around here in just a few minutes. But a quick look at, this Governor Andrew Cuomo story keeps
on giving.
Yeah, something new every few days.
I had a stack of Cuomo stories that we couldn't get to, like in the last week. Probably had a Cuomo story a day, a lot of it having to do with his tactics of intimidation, mm-hmm. the way he made things happen that were, well, now we got, so this, I just want to refer to this real quick. There was a story earlier this week, or maybe over the weekend, of Cuomo was now kind of backpedaling, and his minions were calling people to try to get them to either flip their story or be quiet about when they were trying to
the nursing home directive,
mess with the numbers. That it just went on and on and on. They didn't leave well enough alone. You know, you made the mistake, mm-hmm. now admit it and now move on. And instead he governed one way.
Yeah.
And he governed by leverage and intimidation, and it seems to be all falling apart. Now we've got the family involved.
Right? Yeah, so it's all starting to backfire for Cuomo now. And I'm not surprised by this news, and I don't know if it's the death knell for Governor Cuomo, but it's certainly a bad look. Fox News reporting that Cuomo and New York Health Commissioner Howard Zucker directed health officials to prioritize Cuomo's own family and figures with ties to his administration in the early days of the COVID pandemic. Family members who allegedly received preferential testing included, who else? Cuomo's brother,
Chris
CNN
Cuomo.
Anchor Chris Cuomo. Also Cuomo's mother and at least one of his sisters. They don't say his daughters or anything like that, but his brother, his mother, and one of his sisters at least.
And you know what? Hey, Don Lemon. Yeah. Don Lemon, don't tell anybody. You want a shot?
Yeah.
You wonder if Don Lemon was in there.
I don't know. Was Don Lemon involved?
Yeah, you know, when Chris and Don do the pass off, mm-hmm. sometimes it's a little awkward because I don't know. But Chris refers to Don as his brother. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Who knows if Don got the preferential treatment? I would guess that he did not. Some family members, they say, reportedly received multiple tests as, you know, citizens in New York were trying to get their own COVID tests. So another bad look for the Cuomo administration. And I did see someone comment on this earlier. They said, what would it look like if CNN decided to fire Chris Cuomo because of this story, but Andrew Cuomo continues keeping his spot as the governor of New York? So just another thing to keep an eye on there. But a story that really, and it's not just one story, but have you been following this UFO stuff at all?
You're Pence and I'm Trump.
Yeah. You put me on the UFO problem.
So the UFO was COVID. So you're in charge of that. You've been talking about it the last few days, mm-hmm. and I have not looked at the stories, not aware of the stories, but I know it's out there.
And as Sean said on Midday, last week or a couple weeks ago, he was talking about some of these UFO stories that are coming out from the federal government now. And it's like, how are we passing over this? We could look back and, you know, we're arguing about a bridge and about Amtrak or
and
about
meanwhile,
the governor of
we're about
New York
to be attacked by aliens
when there's possibly, ooh, I like it. That's some spooky music.
Spooky UFO music.
So
I pulled up.
Yeah, and the story's getting even crazier, I guess.
Let me hear, what's what?
All right, so on Fox News Primetime this week, Maria Bartiromo, yep. She had the former director of national intelligence under the Trump administration, John Ratcliffe. He was on the show, and he said that the pilots for our armed services have actually seen a lot more than the public knows regarding UFOs.
That is scary.
His name is John Ratcliffe. He was the DNI director under Trump, and he went on the air to talk about these UFO interactions a little bit. Here he is with Maria Bartiromo talking UFOs earlier this
actually,
week.
Is a program that's been in place for a few years in terms of a task force that, has been there under the National Defense Authorization Act. But as you correctly point out, Maria, there's now a report that will be issued by the Pentagon, by the Secretary of Defense, and the Director of National Intelligence. I actually wanted to get this information out and declassified before I left office, but we weren't able to get it down into an unclassified format that we could talk about quickly enough. But frankly, there are a lot more sightings than have been made public. Some of those have been declassified. When we talk about sightings, we're talking about objects that have been seen by Navy or Air Force pilots or have been picked up by satellite imagery that, frankly, engage in actions that are difficult to explain, that movements that that are hard to replicate, that we don't have the technology for, or traveling at speeds that, you know, exceed the sound barrier without a sonic boom. So
that was just a little bit of what John Ratcliffe had to say on Fox News. But
John Ratcliffe, now, his title again?
He was the Director of National Intelligence in the Trump administration.
Because he sounds a little bit like Ricky. So you got to, but it's legit.
Yeah.
Maybe Ricky's legit.
So you've got this Pentagon report coming up about its interactions with UFOs. It's part of this spending bill that came out not that long ago. Ratcliffe said there are a lot more sightings than have been made public. But the part that you just heard him say, parts that are difficult to explain, sightings that are difficult to explain, movements that are hard to replicate, that we don't have the technology for, are traveling at speeds that exceed the sound barrier. So I think Bartiromo asked him, well, is it possible that this is American, you know, technology that mm-hmm. we're testing out for the military? And he said, no, it's not that. She said, could it be
another country's technology?
And he said, we would have had to had such a major lapse in our ability to see what's going on in other countries that they would have had to move, you know, light speed, literally years yeah. ahead of us in this tech. So, I don't know. I've always been one of those that says, you're crazy for thinking there's extraterrestrial life. And then I started thinking, well, it is a big universe. Maybe there's something out there. And now I'm pretty dang near convinced that something's happening. And
well, you know, that's quite a quote from somebody who, Director of
National Intelligence.
I mean, that's not that, you know, that's not Ricky on line two. I mean, that's a big deal right there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, confirming that there's a problem out there or there's things out there, maybe a week ago,
mm-hmm.
10 days, that's what got me.
What's that?
Baker Mayfield.
The quarterback with the sighting.
And his wife leaving, they were driving outside of Austin, Texas. Which is interesting because Baker played at Oklahoma, and that's where the University of Texas is.
What was he doing there?
Exactly. So, first of all, that was Baker Mayfield being sighted in Austin. He's like an alien there.
Yeah.
But they said they both saw it, and we know them from all those progressive commercials.
Yeah.
Where their home is the stadium.
Uh-huh.
So we're aware of who Baker Mayfield is. We're aware of who his wife is now because of her stardom in those commercials.
Yeah.
They said they are convinced what they saw, well, they didn't know what it was, but they said it did things like John Ratcliffe said.
Was saying.
It was doing things in the sky that you
didn't look possible.
Didn't look possible.
And now a report.
They were having trouble, just like I am. They were having trouble describing what they saw. But don't blame me because I didn't see it. They did.
And to add on to this, there's also a report out from one of our warships off the coast of California. They said back in 2019 they were harassed by mysterious flying objects.
Ooh.
Unmanned aerial vehicles, they say, buzzed three destroyers for several days. As many as six of the drones swarmed around the USS Kidd, USS Rafael Peralta, and USS John Finn, at times performing brazen maneuvers. And they reported them, and still not sure what they were to this day.
Everybody's got a camera phone.
Where are the pictures?
Where are
the video?
Thank you. It's 8:30, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, I'm Dalton Norwig, looking for aliens.
36 FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great here. So what's going on at McConnell today?
Well, you know, Gene pulled a fast one on all of us, but want to congratulate him and Wendy on getting married.
Hey!
He's off the market. He's done.
That's so, great news.
That's right. We want to congratulate him and Wendy. Hope they have a great life together and work at McConnell for a while. But, you know, anyway, we're going to be selling cars today, man. Y'all need to check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Gene's been working hard getting all the pictures up. And like I said yesterday, we traded in a 19 one-ton dually. It's got a fuel tank on it and a fifth wheel hitch. We're getting that through the shop. Also going to be trading in two, not one, but two 20-model Denali three-quarter ton diesels. They'll be in next week. So we'll have those miles in the 20s sitting out front. And we bought four trucks yesterday. We'll have those up. So we're going to be the truck capital of the world again.
Yeah, sure sounds like it.
That's right. We got to move them. Mitch moved our little needle yesterday for the end of the month. So we got a few more cars we got to sell to make him happy. So we're going to be here all day. Hope the weather turns out okay this weekend. We'll be here all weekend. So just check our website out at McConnellAutomotive.com. Or if you got any questions, call Gene or I at 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
It is 8:38, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, turning up your voice at 343-0106, and also turning up the voice of Rob Holbert with Lanyap Mobile and LanyapMobile.com. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys.
So, pretty tame week in news around here, right? I mean, just the revival of the bridge proposal, Amtrak getting back into discussions, and then a little bit of a blow-up at the city council. So, not much to report on in the latest issue of Lanyap.
No, it's been really quiet this week. Yeah, they just, you know, basically took the bridge, took that picture of the bridge, that artist rendition, and erased one of the spans, and now we're back at it, you know?
I hope whoever made, you know, all these videos of the not yet made bridge and all these pictures.
I love the cartoon bridge.
Yeah,
the animated people riding along onto the Bayway. What's wrong with that bridge? That was a beautiful bridge.
It was. It's beautiful.
It was a cartoon.
We're back at it. We're looking at, you know, at this point, you know, so when the governor when it died before, and we all, I hate to go through all this jargon. You got the Metropolitan Planning Organization, the MPO, they did not include the bridge in their planning, their TIP. So we ended up, the governor said, look, it's dead until you guys come back with something. So this is us coming back with something. This is the folks down here coming back and saying, look, we've got a $700 million plan for a bridge that will be a truck bridge. And it will toll $15 a truck going across, with trucks 46 feet and longer, and so that's the plan. It will also restripe the Bayway to make it White Knuckle Alley. There'll be, you know, three lanes on the Bayway, so no shoulder on the road. There will be 24-hour people out there to help you if your car, if you get a flat tire or a car breaks down, that type of thing. But so that's the plan at this point.
Yeah, and that's the, I would say, the most, well, there's a lot of interesting things in this proposal.
That's the head scratcher right there.
The three lanes on the Bayway. And while it's not really, you know, too tight right now with two lanes going each way, it's not as tight as, say, the Bankhead Tunnel or some streets here in Mobile, but still relatively tight. And then making that three lanes seems just kind of outrageous to me, but you know, who knows until we actually drive on it, I guess.
Yeah, well, one of the lanes would be a truck lane.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan. So the trucks will be in that lane. You know, they say, you know, they tell us that the truck people, that the trucking industry likes this idea. We have not talked to the trucking industry yet. I saw some on TV the other night, some independent truckers that were interviewed on local TV, and they didn't seem real fired up about it. But you know, it's a question. You know, one of these things is, you look at it and say, well, you know, is it better than nothing? Is it, you know, if it gets 40% of the, you know, if it changes the traffic pattern enough to really help during these really peak times, then is it worth it? Is it worth doing it? You know, of course, there are certainly people who say, you know, no tolls, no way. Mm-hmm. This is just a gateway drug to tolls. You know, we're going to get out there and, you know, they're going to build this quote unquote truck bridge. And then, hey, guess what? You know, during peak hours, maybe, you know, there's not a lot of trucks here. What if you guys want to pay a little money? You could go across it too. Mm. You know, does it go that way? I don't know.
A couple of questions real quick, Rob, if you may understand it better than I do. So the truck bridge would be a right lane veer as you're getting close to downtown, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So at what point, two questions, at what point is there signage to tell truck drivers, hey, coming up in about 3 miles, you need to be on the right, you know, and how many trucks could possibly miss that and end up going through the tunnel? So my first question is, you know, how are we going to herd the trucks over to the right side to make sure they don't miss that new ramp? And B, so I assume then when the trucks merge with the bayway, they will have to occupy the right lane and stay in it, like a little penalty box.
That's what I understand, yes, that they would. It will come down
you
somewhere
stay
right
where
around
you are.
The county line.
Yeah.
And join the bayway, and that it would, at that point, the trucks would be over in their lane, and that would be, you know, the situation. So let's say if you're coming back into town on a Sunday afternoon and the tunnel is jammed for some reason and the cars are not moving, that trucks would be able to move still.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. If, you know, if a cow truck was overturned on the bridge, you know, as we frequently have in the tunnel, if they, you know, if there was some sort of thing on the bridge that the trucks would be stuck and the cars would be able to drive on past.
Mm.
So, you know, that's the explanation of it at this point. I mean, obviously, not everything has been completely lined out. You know, the tolls that they're talking about are $10 to $15. They're not completely settled on that. But when you start looking at numbers and you say, okay, the state's going to... The one thing that I do like about this a lot is that we're not trying to involve a private company in this.
Right.
I think that was an extraordinary... a huge ripoff. The concept of that before would have been a massive ripoff for the state.
Mm-hmm.
That we would have ended up paying that company, when I did the calculations, it was something like $5 billion, $6 billion over the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, so they would make 500-600% on their investment and have control over our tolls for the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's still that part of me that watched the Jetsons too much that says, are we going to need all this in 25 years? Because, you know, we're still talking about, let's get this thing going. What we're talking about right now is getting this done by the third quarter of next year to possibly begin construction somewhere around then. And, you know, 6-7 years, which we all know probably means 8 or 9 years
mm-hmm.
of construction for this one bridge. And then if we ever get to the point where we say, let's build the other span for vehicles, that would, you know, you're talking about 20 plus years down the road.
Yeah.
Doing that.
So just like whatever time range they tell you, you got to add on years to that. Same thing with the cost of the project, I would say. Even though they're saying $725 million right now, I believe the initial bridge proposal was a lot less than $2.1 billion or whatever it ended up at. So what I don't understand
is $225 million, you know, years ago. I mean, we've been talking about bridges ever since we started laying up, and that's 19 years ago now. So we've been talking about bridges since then.
I'm sorry, Rob. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I would have a problem. We've got this $125 million federal grant, but
right.
We're also at the same time talking about a new infrastructure bill that might make its way through the House and Senate, whether it gets any Republican votes or not. Sounds like the Democrats are going to try to jam this through. But if $3 trillion is being spent by the federal government, couldn't we somehow, some way work out a better deal for I mean, we're talking about I-10 here. We're not talking about Government
right.
Boulevard or
right.
airport. We're talking about a major thoroughfare. You would think that we would be able to get a little bit more money and maybe build a bridge that everyone could be happy with without high costs.
Yeah, and that's a federal highway as well. So, you know, I totally agree with you. I mean, I'm firmly of the opinion it's the federal government's highway and they should pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
But But yeah, we talked the other day with some of the folks who were putting this out, and I asked that very question. So, okay, we get this going. Does this preclude anything? If we start down this road, no pun intended, does that mean if money gets loose in Washington that we can't use that? And they said no. You know, if this gets started and all of a sudden a bucket of money comes down from D.C., then we can shift gears.
Yeah, and plan and subject to change.
You know, go back into doing, you know, we've already got these studies and blah, 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 blah. So, I don't doubt that that's some part of it. The big issue is you would lose the $125 million by the end of the third quarter of 22. So I think that's the big issue, is they want to get this thing going, get it moving, and, you know, it's if they don't, then they lose the money, and I feel like that's kind of where it's coming from, is that impetus is to keep the money.
And when we got the governor chimed in, and she seemed pleased with it, so it was almost like she was waiting on some sort of activities. She didn't, you know, she gave her blessing to the whole thing, just, and was thankful that something was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot. You know, regardless, if we look at it and say, okay, is this exactly what everybody wants? No, it's probably not. Everybody wants just, you know, we want a bridge to have been built 10 years ago that we didn't have to pay for.
Right.
And now we're looking at still a toll bridge, but it won't affect the vast majority of us, but we also, the vast majority of us, would be able to use it.
Rob, hang on. We're going to be right back after a break, and we've got more to chat about, Dalton.
Yeah, who needs a bridge when we can all ride Amtrak, right?
Yeah.
Talk about that, and also the cover story of Lanyap this week. More coming up. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Warwick.
Dr. Bill's forecast is brought to you by L&S Air. Call them anytime, day or night, and they'll dispatch a heating and air conditioning technician to you. Call L&S Air at 251-865-5174.
8:52, continuing our conversation with Rob Hulbert with Lanyap here in just a minute. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, doing great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. It's the world's largest junk removal service, and yesterday it sure felt like spring. I mean, it's time for some spring cleaning, even if it's not quite spring on the calendar. And why do all the work yourself when you can give 1-800-GOT-JUNK a call? If you have a bunch of junk in the backyard, side yard, front yard, maybe one of the rooms in your house or a lot of the rooms in your house, just give 1-800-GOT-JUNK a call and they will take care of that for you. Some of the things that they'll take from your house, electronics, those in the business call that e-waste, bicycles, rugs. Heck, even if you have a hot tub or a trampoline you're trying to get rid of, 1-800-GOT-JUNK will take care of it for you. Their pricing is up front, so what they quote you is what you will pay, and they dispose of everything responsibly. If they can give it away, donate it, they'll do that as well. So give them a call today, set up your time for your appointment. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number, and online 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
It is 8:53 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton and Rob Hulbert from Lanyap Mobile. Boy, if you want to hear the argument against Amtrak, just ask Jeff Poor. He had about a 20-minute rant about Amtrak yesterday. I don't know if you're aware of what Jeff's opinion of Amtrak is, Rob, or if you've heard his take on it.
Jeff just doesn't like trains, I think, right?
I don't think he likes. He doesn't even like the train.
Train set as a child.
Exactly. He doesn't like the train set around the Christmas tree. He's against that as well. But
he blocked it. I remember that. Yeah.
Anyway, Amtrak in the news.
Yeah, so this is, you know, Rob, it's become political like everything, but the way I understand it, Amtrak was supposed to coordinate and have this study done to see how Amtrak on our rail lines would affect the business coming out of the Port of Mobile. And then at the city council meeting earlier this year, Councilman Richardson, who has been on the record, he really wants Amtrak to be in Mobile. He thinks it'll really help the economy. He asked Mayor Sandy Stimson why he hasn't written a letter in support of Amtrak like so many of the other mayors of cities that would have this new line coming through. And then Councilman Daves, he spoke out on the other side saying, you know, the port is the leader in our local economy, and if anything would mess with that, we don't want it here. So is that kind of a good overview of what's happening there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good overview of what's happening here. I think what you have, we titled the headline on a story is Zombie Train, because Councilman Daves basically said it's dead. And Amtrak says, no, we're not dead. We're coming anyway. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is you've got most of the communities along the Gulf Coast want this. And Mississippi's throwing money into it. They want it because, of course, they have the casino industry.
Right.
And they see it as an opportunity to have people come over to the coast and gamble. We don't have a casino industry. We don't have we're sitting here thinking, well, are people going to come to Mobile from New Orleans? But this is twice a day service between New Orleans and Mobile. The issue that we have is the port and the cargo, the freight trains are saying, hey, you know, this is going to mess us up. Amtrak says, look, we have the right of way, so we don't really care. There's supposed to be a study that was going to be done, but at this point, Amtrak is saying, we're not going to wait for the study. We're mm-hmm. going to continue on this track. No, again, no pun intended, but we're going to continue down this road, and we're going to do this. And they're basically saying they've got $66 million to do infrastructure improvements along the coast, and they're planning to just move ahead with it.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think you're running into the political pressure, is that the port and some of the business interests around here are irritated with it, and they don't have this study that they were counting on being done, and I think Amtrak just looking at it saying this study's just holding things up.
Yeah, and then now they've appealed to the federal government, and unfortunately for all the businesses at the port, our president's nickname is Amtrak Joe. So there's no telling which way he'll go with it if he gets to decide. But I'm guessing he'll side with Amtrak.
And it's also become a political football in the midst of the mayor's race, I guess, in a way, right? With Fred Richardson.
It depends on how many voters are out there that are going to make a decision on mayor based on whether Amtrak
is wholeheartedly
supported or
right.
half-heartedly supported.
Right.
There's two trains a day that would come through here. I don't know how badly that would mess up the port. I mean, that's part of, I guess, the study. But, is this a situation where people don't want to do anything different, or is it a situation where, that's what it kind of rolls back to, is that, there were tracks that were being used prior to Katrina by Amtrak, and they got washed out by the hurricane in some instances and in some places, and then they've been built back, but, it's like we don't want you on these tracks at this point, I think, has been some of the complaints. So, there's an issue there, whether this is, I don't think it's going to stop the port traffic all day long.
Is my
point, just as an observer, I don't know how, two trains a day is going to drastically affect them, but maybe it does. But the question of whether continuously waiting for a study and waiting and waiting and waiting is just to obfuscate and keep things going. That's the point I think Amtrak is trying to make.
Less than a minute left here, Rob. How can folks subscribe to Lanyap online?
Well, you can go to lanyapmobile.com, and you can sign up and get you online. Check us out and have unlimited access to everything we write. You also need to go to votenappies.com. You've got up until the 28th at midnight to continue voting, and we've got 181,000 votes already, which
wow.
is almost double what we normally get in the at the nomination period. So there's been a lot of people are fired up to vote.
Thanks, Rob. We'll do it in a week's time.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
Family on the way to New Orleans. The little kid says, Mama, is that Irvington? Yes, it is, Scotty.
It is, son.
8:59.